Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Well, this morning, I'm really excited to be opening the Word, as always. But I love the Word of God. And there's lots of things I love in life as well. And one of the things I really enjoy doing in my spare time is watching movies. Is there any movie lovers in the house this morning? Fantastic. Wonderful. So has anybody ever watched the movie Mission Impossible? I mean, I think there's six of them, so if you haven't seen one of them. Now, if you haven't seen it, I am going to spoil it a little bit, so I am sorry, but every movie has roughly the same plot line. It's that good. But listen, the whole movie is about this secret agent called Ethan Hunt, right? What a cool name, Ethan Hunt. Andy Dilnot could be a cool special agent name as well, couldn't it? Special Agent Andy Dilnot. So anyway, Mission Impossible is all about... Sorry, there's going to be a bit of sidetracking this morning. But Mission Impossible is all about this Ethan Hunt being given a mission that is utterly impossible. But he is the man that will make it possible. Come on. Woo! Ethan Hunt is the man that is going to make it possible. Now, my title today is very much Mission Possible. Okay? Because there's another man in this world that likes to make things possible. Yeah? We serve him. He's called God. He's called Jesus, and we love him very much, don't we? Yeah. And I believe that God wants us to understand something afresh about what we are called to as the church. Yeah. That Jesus has equipped us for mission, to come alive in mission, okay? And here's the thing, right? You see, today, as Pastor Andy has already stated, today is Palm Sunday. Yes? And Palm Sunday signifies Jesus entering Jerusalem for what we describe as a Holy Week. But what it actually is it's Jesus entering in the final stages of his mission. Yes? And Jesus is entering into Jerusalem knowing that he is going to be crucified. Now, let me ask you a question. If you entered a town knowing that you're going to be crucified, what would your first reaction be? Mine would be to run. I'm just being real with you. But Jesus knew his mission and followed it through to the end because he loves you. He loves you. And you see, Jesus came so that you can have life. Yes? And the whole point of Jesus' mission was that he broke the wage of sin so that you could have life, eternal life with God and be in full relationship with God. Now, what I want to talk about this morning is about us, the church, coming alive. I want to talk about something of the power of God coming alive in us afresh. You see, when mission's truly activated and made possible, mission is made possible only by the body of Christ when it activates and becomes alive. Yes? You see, if we are the body of Christ and we do nothing, then we're not truly the body of Christ. I'm saying that as graciously as I can, but as the body of Christ, we have to be active. We have to be everything that God has called us to be, because if we are coming for Sundays and coming for a Sunday church where we sit and we do nothing, that's not what God's called us to. He's called us to much more than that. He's got much more for you. He's got much more for your life. You see, often what happens is we limit what God can do in our lives to what we think God can do in our lives. Let me say that again. often we limit what God can do in our lives to what we think God can do in our lives. You see, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says this, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind can conceive, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to you by his Spirit. And this morning, if you don't know those things, I want to pray this prayer that God will just flood his Holy Spirit into your life and that he will reveal what you are called to this morning. Lots of nice noises. Sometimes we ask the question, what is mission about? Yeah. Well, ultimately, mission is about us coming alive in Christ. Yeah. And maybe you're sat here asking, what is our mission? Well, I've got a few verses just to help us with that, and if they can just come up on the screen. So 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people. Chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Amen? Are we getting this, church? You see, you are chosen. You are chosen. You are a royal priesthood. What that royal priesthood means is basically Jesus has made a way for you to become royalty. Yes? You see, back in the Old Testament, I think I've explained this before, back in the Old Testament, to experience the presence of God, the priest would have to go before anybody else and would have a piece of string on his foot. And if he was not holier than thou, then he would fall flat on the ground and die. And he would be dragged out. But what we have now is because Jesus Christ has become our royal priest, he has brought us into relationship with God and has made us a royal priesthood. You are royalty this morning, church. Yes? Come on, let's get excited about this. You are royalty this morning. You are a holy nation. You are a special possession to God this morning. Our next verse is this, okay, Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but not to use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love. You may have heard me asking for help in church. Well, that is a way that you can serve each other in love. Yeah? Do you know, I know the guys that set up the chairs, I'm sure they don't necessarily want to set up the chairs, but they do it because they love church and they love you and they want you to have a nice, comfy seat. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Let's give them a round of applause again. Come on. Our next verse is this. John 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Okay, you chose me. You did not choose me, but I chose you. This is God speaking to you, and I appointed you so that you may bear fruit. Not bear fruit. Because that fruit will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You see, as the people of God, we are called to go out and bear fruit. Yes? What that means is that we reproduce what God has done in our lives. Yes? Our next verse is this. Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, really well known, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Who wants a bit of that this morning? I want a bit of that this morning. Well, this morning, listen, That is a bit of an introduction to what I want to speak about this morning, but what I'm really focusing on and my key scripture today is actually in the Old Testament, and we're reading from Exodus. But what I wanted to do is, in Exodus, there is a conversation between God and another man called Moses, when God has called Moses to a mission, yes? And the reason why I want to kind of just do a little bit of teaching and share a few thoughts on this is because quite often, when I read these verses in Exodus, I see a few similarities to my conversations with God. And I say that because sometimes you can also see some similarities to your conversations with God. So we're going to read from verse 1. So if you want to turn to Exodus 4, we're going to read from verse 1. But just a little bit of a background. These verses follow a God encounter at the burning bush with Moses and God. And God has called Moses to set his people free. Yes, they are currently in slavery with Egypt, but God has called Moses to go out and set his people free. And we read these verses here. And Moses answered God, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you?" Then the Lord said to him, What is in your hand? And Moses replied, "A staff." Then the Lord said, "Throw it to the ground." So Moses threw it to the ground, and it became a snake. And it ran, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out his hand and took it by the tail. And when Moses did that, he turned back from the snake back into the staff. This said the Lord is so that you may believe that the Lord is so that said the Lord, sorry, is so that they may believe also. The God of their fathers, the God of the Lord, and the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. I'm going to stop there. We are going to read right through to verse 13, but what I want to do is I want to take this morning's scripture in sections. And my first point and the first thing I want to kind of look at is those first words that Abraham says, Moses says to God. He says, "What if they do not believe me or listen, and they say the Lord has not appeared to you?" You see, the first thing we have to understand about if God has said something to us is this: it matters. Yeah. Yes? You see, if God has spoken, it matters. So it means that we should listen to what God has said. Now, in your life, God will have said many things over your life. But as you have come to know him, one of the most important things in your life is knowing that God has called you to a life in him and a relationship with him. You see, what often we do in life is this: we come up with excuses. And we see this quite often in these verses with Moses. But My son Isaac, you know, or any of my children, if we ask them to clean their bedroom, the first thing I get is an excuse. Yes? And it's the same with us and God. You see, sometimes when God asks us to do something, the first thing that we do is we act a little bit like children and we come up with an excuse. And we say, "God, I can't do this. What if they don't believe me? What if something goes wrong?" But actually, if the church doesn't do what the church is supposed to do, then all it does is becomes a group of people that meet in a room. Yes? And that's not what we're about. That's not why we're here. It's not why we slave. It's not why we built this building. We've built this building to facilitate people to go out and make disciples. Amen? And the whole point of our journey here as New Horizon is to look outward, not inward. Yes? And if you are new to our church, I just want to share with you this, is our heart is very much to see those out there know Jesus. Yes? Now, if you are in here and you want to know Jesus, then that's absolutely fine as well. But we want to equip you to go out and make disciples. We want you to equip you to become everything that God has called you to be. We want to equip you that you may bear fruit. You see, we have fruit in our house, but it's the first thing to go stale. It's true. Anybody else? I mean, I like my pies. But I don't mind the odd apple every so often. Every year, one a year. No, but my father-in-law, one of the things he does is one day is he displays some of his sofas on a market stall, and he very kindly brings us a bag of fruit every single week, and my wife loves that bag of fruit. Me, on the other hand, I have it once a year. No, but what my point is this, is that actually if we do not bear fruit, if we don't make use of what fruit is in our lives, it becomes stale, it becomes moldy, it goes soft. And look at it in your life as well. Look at it in the essence of your life. If you stay still in your Christian life, if you do not become active in all that God has for you, what happens is you become moldy and stale and squishy, bitter, moaning. Oh, the list can go on. Hey, listen, I've been there, guys. There's times where I've sat on my chair and I've wanted to moan, but I have to choose to raise a hallelujah. I have to choose that I'm not going to moan about my situation. I have to choose that I'm not going to go stale. I have to choose that I'm going to continue and work hard. I have to choose that I think about others and that I put others before myself. Hey? Wow. You know, I will do anything for my family. My wife knows that. My kids know that. If they were on the other end of the world, I would go for them. I would search for them. This is my family. I will do anything for you. You know, yesterday, I was humming and ahhing about sharing this. But yesterday, I found out that one of my old young people decided to take his own life. I couldn't stop crying. I literally could not stop crying. I said, God, why? Why? And God said to me, I just felt him whisper into my heart, that lad never forgot what you said to him all those years ago. You see, I will wake up every single day. I will wake up I will give everything that I've got to see people know Jesus. Yeah. Because I do not want my friends to find a lonely place. I do not want my friends to find a place where they have no hope. I don't want my friends to have no place where they've got nowhere to hide. I want them to know Jesus, that they may know hope, that they may have life. But that is... Listen, that is an all of us responsibility, guys. It's an all of us responsibility. You know, we can keep pushing it, we can keep fighting hard, but if we collectively as the church don't become active, if collectively we don't understand what God has called us to be, then it scares me. You see, if God has said something to you, it is important. And I want to say to you, God has spoken to you. If you know him, he has spoken to you. He has called you. He has called you to this place for a reason. It's not a mistake that you sat here today. Let me tell you that. God has got you here to hear this message for this reason. And that now is the time for you to activate everything that God has placed inside of you to come alive for his kingdom, for his glory. We're not building a name for New Horizon. We're building a name for Jesus Christ in this place. Come on, are we getting excited, church? Let's just dip back into Exodus 4. See, what Moses then says to God, and what God says to Moses is this. He said, "What is that in your hands?" And Moses replied, "A staff." I want to ask you, what has God placed in your hands today? Yes? Don't look at the person next to you. Look at yourself. What has God placed in your hands today? Because whatever he's placed in your hands, he's made you uniquely for that purpose. What is built inside you, no one else can do. Yes? This church needs you. This church needs you. God needs you. You are part of this church for a reason. God has placed you here because what has been placed in your hands can be used for his glory and for his kingdom. Amen? Come on, church. This isn't a condemnation. It's not condemnation. This is about you got as understanding together that God has placed something in our hands for us to use for his glory and for his kingdom. You see, the staff what was in Moses' hands was just ordinary. It wasn't anything spectacular. But you see, when God came into the mix, it became something marvelous. It became something spectacular. And I want to say over your life, what is in your hands right now may not look spectacular to you. But God thinks it's awesome. God thinks it's brilliant. And you see, when you put God into the mix of that, what's going to happen? It becomes something marvelous. It becomes something spectacular. And people will say, look what God has done. Not because Steve's done something today. Yeah? But because what has God done today? Yeah? What God has placed in your hands can be used for something spectacular. Ladies on the front row here, yes? What God has placed in your hands, God is going to use for something spectacular. You know, I've seen you all three of you taking pictures, yeah? They're marvelous. And I truly believe God is going to start to use that for something spectacular. God has given you a gift, yeah? One of the great things is as our young people, we can sometimes follow them on Facebook and social media, and you see what they're doing. And these three girls, all three of them, have a great gift for seeing and having a great eye for art and taking great pictures. And I believe God's going to use your creativity, girls, all three of you, in different ways. I've got to press on because I'm running out of time, and I'm sorry about that. My next point is this. You see, yes, the staff was ordinary, but with God's power in Moses, it became something extraordinary. God's power lives in you. If you believe in Jesus Christ this morning, God's power lives in you. You know, Pastor Andy stood up here believing to see miracles. I stand up here also believing to see miracles, but not by anything that I can do. I want to be a willing vessel that says, God, come and use me however you want to use me. And that's all we can all be, ultimately, is a willing vessel. You see, you and I are just ordinary. We're not normal. I've said this for the last three preachers that I've done. We're not normal, guys. But you put God in the mix and God's power, wow! Wow, it becomes something extraordinary. Wow. Oh. Do you know, when I first joined the church, I sat and listened to Chris Dillnot, our church treasurer, tell me some of his life story and just, oh, I wept. I wept because it wasn't anything Chris did. It wasn't anything that he particularly did. It was God's power living through him. God used him. God still is using him. God wants to use you. Think about where God has brought you from. Think about what God has done in your life. Oh, I think back to where I was. And this week of all weeks, I remember the goodness of God. You know, my testimony is this. You know, I grew up in church. I knew God all of my life. And there came a moment in my life where I had to make a decision for me. My dad became critically ill in the sense where he became paralyzed almost from the waist down. He couldn't move. He crushed two vertebrae and three discs in his back, basically, and lost full nerval damage in his back. My whole family just started to slide away from church. And I thought to myself, do I stay with my family? Do I follow the way that my family has gone, or do I continue to follow what God has asked me to do? And I'm so thankful that I chose to follow what God asked me to do. And this week of all weeks, I thank God that He has saved me. I thank God that He came on a mission and followed the mission through, and He entered Jerusalem knowing that He was going to be crucified. His hands nailed to the cross, His feet speared to the cross, a crown of thorns, whipped, spat on, despised. But He still followed the mission through. You know, sometimes we will have times where we're spat on, guys. But we will never endure what Christ has endured for us, because He has taken the full payment. Moses continued to whimper and give excuses. But God made this point to him. I have chosen you, Moses. You may not be eloquent, but I have chosen you. You know, if you knew me as a young child, guys, I stuttered. I couldn't stand on the stage publicly. My first preach, I barely got two words out because I was so afraid. But God in me drew something out. The call of God drew something out of me. And you see, I'm not saying everybody has to stand on the stage, but God has called you to something more than just sitting on a chair. And I'm not just saying that because we're sat on chairs right now, but God has called us to much more. He's called us to mission. He's equipped us. And if you think you are not good enough, you are good enough. You see, God told Moses, I have chosen you. You are the person I am choosing to set my people free. It wasn't about Moses. People knew what Moses was like. But when people saw the great leader that Moses became, they knew that God was with him. So the people followed him. Yes? When people see that God is with you, they will follow you. Amen? My last point is this, and I'm going to close really quickly. You see, at the end of these verses near verse 14, 15, 16, and 17, this guy, you've got to laugh at him, haven't you? But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord, again. Please send somebody else. Then the Lord angered and burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he'll be glad to see you. You shall speak to him, and he'll put the words in your you will put the words in his mouth. I will help you both speak, and I will teach you what to do. And he will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if it was your mouth, and as if God was speaking directly to them." Wow. You see, even if you still don't think you're good enough, yeah, God will supply all your needs. And my last point is this. God hasn't asked anybody else. He's asked you. Yeah. He's asked you a specific question. I know he has asked other people, and because it's a general call. Yeah? But God is speaking directly to you in this sense. It's really important we understand this. This is a personal request from God to you. It's a personal request from God. It's a conversation between you and God where he says, "I'm speaking to you, have I asked you?" But we need to note something in this story of Moses. You see, if we continue to reject what God has asked us to do, God grows angry. Yeah? But here's the thing. God's that much of a loving God that he gives Moses, his brother, to help him. And it's as if Moses is speaking when Aaron speaks. Isn't that marvelous? You see, I don't want to anger God. I don't want to live a day where somebody walks past my door and they haven't heard the gospel. They haven't heard about Jesus Christ. I'm not saying we go around bashing people with our Bibles, guys. That's not what we're about, yeah? And I've got a nice big Bible. I think I might knock somebody out with mine. But what I'm saying is this. Use the opportunities God has given you to share his love. It doesn't have to be weird. This week, I believe that as we come to church next Sunday and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this week you will have experienced conversations. God will have opened opportunities for you to talk, to share his love, to be missional. Because with God, mission is possible. This mission is possible, guys. With God, anything is possible. You know, we have a scripture that says, nothing is impossible, because we believe that as a church. We believe that nothing is impossible for God. And today, this mission, should you choose to accept, is possible with God. Thank you for listening. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Do you feel challenged? I don't know about you, but I feel like I want to run through a brick wall for Jesus right now. And because I feel really charged up. And it's great. I believe God's going to give us opportunity. We're going to close in prayer. Time's gone. But right now, you just feel, I don't know how you want to respond, but maybe you just want to say, "God, I'm believing this week, I want to serve you." Whether that's going to work with a smile on my face, whether it's being more attentive, being more helpful, whether it's sharing your faith to someone, whether it's inviting someone to the Easter services, whatever that is. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word to us, that your heart burns for the lost. It burns for the broken. And Lord, we just want to say we recognize that. And Lord, I just pray, help us in our lives to navigate all that you have. Lord, I just pray for any feeling of inadequacy and self-loathing will leave this place in the name of Jesus, and that your mission will come first in our lives for your glory. And all God's people said, amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.